talk about that a little bit more tonight. The healer, not just a physical healer, but God wants to heal your heart. God wants to heal your spirit. So if you will, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 1. I want to tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I'm so thankful that you're here. There's a reason that each one of you are here tonight. I felt very strongly in prayer this week that God laid this message on my heart, laid this story vividly across my spirit. And so if you're here, you need the word of God tonight. So receive it. Amen. I need potatoes. So in about little, maybe half hour, I'm going to receive potatoes into my being. Okay? Ain't nobody going to have to force me, cajole me, pull me, drag me to the blessed potatoes. Because I need it. Lord knows. And so you need the word of God tonight. So don't make it so I have to pull and tug you and push you. And you need him. You need more of God in your life. Until the day you die. Amen? So we're going to preach the word and then we're going to pray with everything we got. And God's going to change some of our lives tonight. And then we're going to eat potatoes. Okay? And they came over, Jesus and his peeps, unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come up out of the ship, immediately, I don't know if when you read, you have a movie that plays in your mind like me. I can't help it. I'm reading stuff and there's a movie going on about what's going on. Watch this movie between your ears. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That means an evil spirit. He was possessed with an evil spirit, okay? He's running towards Jesus, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains, come on, see this in your brain, had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This dude be messed up. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Let's pray tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, for every soul that's here, God, under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, against every wall and against every spirit that would hinder your word. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you tear down that wall. In Jesus' name, and let your word reach ground where it can grow. Speak to your children, Lord God. We are hungry for your word, and the hungry shall be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight from the title, Finding Peace. Finding Peace. Okay, so we talked about this bad dude. I mean, he's running toward... Okay, so Jesus gets off the boat, right? He steps on the land, and this guy... I mean, just imagine it. I mean, some people, I'm telling you, get scared when somebody walks in the opposite direction of you at Walmart. I mean, right? It's kind of dark. It's like, where's my mom? I got a whole bunch of cereal. Okay, don't make eye contact. They're just walking. But this guy, Jesus, steps foot on the shore, and a dude. Okay, and let me tell you. Okay, the Bible, the Gospels are in four books. Okay, so some stories are shared between the different books. Matthew and Mark, Luke and John. Stories shared between the Gospels. So multiple accounts tell different points of view of this story. And in a different point of view of this same story, this guy is described as unclothed. Naked. Okay? Naked. So I'm trying, don't now let the movie just blur and censor what's going on right now. Okay? So Jesus steps on the shore and this naked dude. Jesus. Possessed by an evil spirit. You want to talk about freaking out. I would be dead. I wouldn't be playing dead. Gone. No heartbeat. Not nothing. Do not resuscitate. Don't wake me up. Wake me up when it's all over. I mean, my eyeballs open up, see Jesus on the throne because I'm dead. This guy, this naked, possessed dude. Okay, let's go over his attributes. Okay, let's pretend he has his eHarmony profile going on. Okay, possessed with an evil spirit. Okay, the stuff we've read, it's in the text. Naked, wild, lived among the tombs. Okay, somebody interpret that for me in the modern day. Living among the tombs means he lives in a cemetery. I'm not inviting him over to meet my mama. Are you kidding me right now? Where do you find people like this? Wild. Okay, and what they say about what Mark say about the chains and the fetters? Boom! You ever seen anybody do that? No. Breaking chains, breaking handcuffs, right? He's strong. He lives in a cemetery, naked, and he's alone. This guy, if there's ever a guy you don't want to make eye contact with, it's this dude right here. Because he's going to be chasing you down naked. That is never a good thing. But then, verse 5. If we could pull that up. Verse 5. He's coming. The Bible says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and he was in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So he goes from just being weird to it's hard not to feel bad for this guy. There's obviously something going on there. There's a couple type of people in the world. You look at somebody who has issues, obvious issues, and you look at them and you say, why can't you be normal? Why can't you, we're all normal. Why can't you act normal? Or you can be a type of person that looks at a person that has issues and say, what happened to you? Instead of why can't you be normal, what's going on? Come on, there's people that we're going to run across every day. And sometimes it's the person right here. Why can't I act right? Why can't I get it together? Maybe there's actually something actually wrong going on. He's not happy. This dude is not happy. He is crying and cutting himself with stones. Imagine the incredibly miserable existence that this guy has. He lives alone, crying and cutting himself. As it turns out, cutting yourself is not a new modern day invention. People have been doing it for thousands of years. He wasn't doing it because he was trying to be cool. He wasn't doing it because he was trying to fit in with the crowds. He was doing it because the Bible said he had an evil spirit. Evil spirits are very real. Just like, okay, each one of us in here has the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Every one of us in here has the Holy Ghost. Come on, high five your neighbor and say, we got that Holy Ghost. Good job. Way to go, guys. Just as real as that spirit, just as much as that spirit's real, so are evil spirits are real. Evil spirits are real and they control people and they get in and they possess people and they make people hurt themselves. This guy is a total loner. Can you think of anybody in your life, anybody who you know who is just a loner? Just a loner. They don't seem to get along with anybody. They just are always alone. There's a party going on, and they're alone. School's going on, they're alone. People are bustling through the hallways, and you can tell. It doesn't matter how many people are walking around with books and backpacks, they're alone. Everywhere they go, they are alone. Well, I'm here to tell you that the people who are loners are often miserable as all get out. It's people who need peace. This guy was a loner. He had nobody else around him. We're going to read in our story later on. This guy had a family and friends. He wasn't just dropped out of a stork into a cemetery. This guy had family and friends. So how in the world, how did he get to a place where he's living by himself in a cemetery, cutting himself and crying, wishing that his world would get better? At one point, he had a mom and dad, and he lived with his mom and dad who loved him. At one time, he had a job. At one time, he had friends that he hung out with on the weekends. Friends that he got to eat potatoes with and play ping pong with. But something happened in his life that pulled him away from everyone he loved, to where his existence was being alone and taking out his own pain on himself and waiting and wishing that death would come. There are people like this all around us. And sometimes those people at one time were us. Even if we were in our houses, even if we were with our friends and family, loners. It doesn't take much to feel like a loner in your own house with family and friends. Amen? That is part of the human condition. And that is something where you, that is a place where you just don't have peace. God wants you to walk in peace. He wants to give you peace. Cecilia, God wants to give you peace. Emma, God wants to give you peace. Real peace. Real peace and joy and stability. Where it doesn't matter whatever, it doesn't matter how bad things get. But God wants to give you, and that is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So it shows you this guy had friends and family, and he ended up being in a cemetery alone. It doesn't matter how good you have it at home. You can still deal with emptiness and brokenness. It doesn't matter how good your parents are. It doesn't matter how good, you know, how long your parents have been serving God. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter if your parents won the Potty Award. You ever heard about that one? Parent of the Year Award? Come on. Dad joke for days. It doesn't matter how good your parents are. Kids, students, I dealt with depression. I dealt with darkness. My parents loved me and they were there for me. Everything wasn't perfect, but I went to bed in a safe place. I had food every day. I wasn't living in abuse anymore. I wasn't dealing with emotional and physical abuse anymore. I was delivered out of that at the age of 6, and I was in a place of stability, in a place of love, but I still dealt with depression and darkness in my own life. And you hear these voices saying, maybe it'll never get better. Like this man heard these voices that say, maybe the world would be better if you weren't here. Maybe things would be better if you were gone. Maybe you should run away from everybody that loves you. Maybe they'd be better off if they never saw you again. And so he, day after day, day after day, because the voice, the only voice he heard was the voice of this evil spirit in his ear. That's one reason why it's so important to remain attached to the house of God, to attach to a church that loves you, to have a pastor that loves you. Because you need to hear. You will follow after the voices that you listen to. If you want to self-destruct, if you want to be miserable, if you want to be alone, isolate yourself from everybody who's looking out for your best. Only go around people who you know are not heading towards success in life, who aren't living for God. If you want to be miserable, hang around those people. But when you surround yourself with good, I'm going to say good church people who actually serve God and actually love God, I've had a good church people that when I wasn't feeling it, they came alongside me and said, "Brother, I'm promising you, your family's going to make it through this. Brother, I'm telling you, God's got great things ahead of you." And when I wasn't feeling it, somebody came alongside me and wrapped their arm around me and helped me walk along. I want to ask you a critical thought question here. This man who was struggling alone, what did his arms look like? Have you ever seen it? Oh, that's so sad. I know school hasn't, it just got worse and worse. But to see the arms of someone who has dealt with that, it's sad. It's really sad. Their arms have scars all over them from day after day after day. Sometimes it's just a mess. Sometimes it's just wild. Sometimes it's chaotic. But sometimes it's very controlled. Over and over and over and over again. You see, in our story, the Bible says that people tried to tame this man. They tried to put chains on him. They tried to put bondage on him. You know, they tried to put handcuffs on him. Why were they trying to do that? He was a danger to himself and those around him. Right? And it's the same way today. That we try to box up people. We try to give them things. We try to hold them back. We try everything. Everything but getting a hold of God. We try everything but the Holy Ghost. We try everything but discipleship. To try to keep people from hurting themselves over and over again. We try programs. We try everything under the sun. You personally might have tried everything under the sun. But I'm telling you that a relationship with God, that if you haven't been baptized in His name, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, God literally makes you a new creation. My dad struggled with alcoholism until the day he was baptized. And then everything changed. You might struggle over and over again with depression and darkness. But if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, I promise you will change your life forever. Does anyone believe that? Amen. Amen? Let's pretend like we believe it. Amen. Thank you. You did really, really good. But I'm telling you, there comes a moment in everyone's life that can change everything. God can bring you to a place where one moment can change the course of your life forever. I remember that moment in my life. It was after I'd received the Holy Ghost and been baptized. Because after I received the Holy Ghost and been baptized, I lived like a total fool. I was playing over here. I was doing stuff over there. And I was miserable. I was depressed. I was full of darkness. I was going to church. I was smiling. But I was still dealing with addiction. I was still dealing with all this pain that I wasn't telling anybody about. But there was a moment that changed my life forever. I remember exactly where I walked to. As I walked up and I raised my hands, and my youth pastor and my youth pastor's wife prayed with me, and I surrendered everything to God for the very first time. I surrendered everything. I didn't just say it, but I meant it. Because just saying I received the Holy Ghost once, guess what? You can still struggle with stuff. You can still be addicted. You can still walk. You can still feel darkness and be depressed. But that'll change in your life when you truly surrender to God and say, God, I give that stuff to you, Jesus. I need you to heal me on the inside. But God, whatever you want me to do, Jesus, whatever in my life that you want me to change, God, I give it to you. I'm going to try to my very best to obey you and to walk with you from this day forward. I did that. I'm telling you, that day changed my life. More than anything else, truly surrendering to God. And that opportunity is here for you today. It doesn't matter if you've been walking with God for 40 years. Truly surrendering to God will change your life forever. That God, I don't care if you tell me not to go this way, I will follow you whatever way you want me to go. Don't do this, do this. Don't go here, go here. Don't talk to this person. Whatever it is, Jesus, I will follow you from this day out. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I look like. But God, I want to try doing this thing 100% for you. That day will change your life forever. And that is exactly what happened to this man. Verse 6. But when he, this crazy naked guy, saw Jesus afar off, he ran. And what did he do? He worshiped him. That is why we have altar calls. That is why we come forward. Because the physical is a window into the spiritual. Right? So when we just sit and when we just act like we're too cool, like we don't need nothing, like we're just the hottest thing since sliced bread, guess what? That's what you are in the spirit too. Prideful. You're acting prideful because on the inside, you really are. You know, when you're talking to somebody and you're like actually paying attention and like actually engaged and actually listening, that shows on the inside what? Does that show that you don't care? No, that shows on the inside you actually care about this conversation that we're having together. But how do you like it when we're having a conversation and, oh, look at me, I got 9.10, ain't I the cool doo-doo? Is it 10? 10R? 10XL? XLR? 11? Are we up to 11? Oh, we skipped 10. That's right. No, 9. Sorry. Are you on 11? Oh, my goodness. We mirror in the physical what we are in the spiritual. And so when a person says, come forward and surrender to God, it's so important that we say, you know what? I don't care if I am literally perfect. I'm going to walk up here and I'm going to say, Jesus, if there's something wrong in me, God, that I don't even know about, Jesus, I give it to you because I really want to live for you, God. I want the very best that you have for me, Jesus. I need you to heal me, God. I need you to make me whole. And God's promise is that he will meet you every time. Every time. Because you're worth it. So he runs to God and he worships Jesus. And he cries with a loud voice and said, I want you to ask yourself if this is your voice sometimes. In verse 7, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Has this ever been you? God, what do I have to do with you? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know, in Mark's lingo, what he's saying there? God, why are you even here? Jesus, what's the point? I'm not worth it. My own family and friends don't want to spend time with me. I'm not good enough for anybody, God. Why are you here? I'm telling you, Jesus is in this room right now. He is here because He loves you with an everlasting love. And it doesn't matter how long you've played games with God. He loves you, and He'll keep trying to pull you home until the day you die, because you're worth it. Jesus, why are you here? Little did this man know that Jesus was doing stuff on the other side of the lake. And immediately, he felt something in himself, and he just starts walking to this boat. And he gets on this boat, and he starts to ride across the lake. And there's this crazy storm. And the disciples are all freaking out. And Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And he gets off this boat, and he talks to this man. He goes through all of this for one man. Because you know what he does right after this? He gets back on the boat and he goes home. Come on, some of us don't want to go 5 minutes out of our way to help somebody out. But Jesus has gone out of his way because he wants to meet you tonight. It doesn't matter if you were refilled with the Holy Ghost 5 minutes ago. God wants to encounter your life. He wants to change your life tonight. Whatever you've been struggling with, whatever has been holding you down, whatever brokenness is in the corner of your life and of my life, God wants to take it from you tonight forever. Jesus wants to restore you. He wants to make you new. So we come forward. I'm telling you, at this point in the story, this dude still was possessed with the devil. He had demons on him, all over him, inside of him. Right? He had demons on the inside. That's pretty messed up. But even with, I'm going to go into it, how many demons? 7,000. Even with 7,000 demons inside of him, you know what he still did? "Jesus, I need you, God. You're holy, Lord. I love you, Lord. You're so worthy, God. I love you." It doesn't matter what you are going through right now. It doesn't matter how far you might have fallen. Nothing can keep you from coming forward to God. All of hell cannot keep you from coming forward and giving everything to God. And he asks this question, "Jesus, why are you here?" And God's reply, his reply to you tonight is, "I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I want you to find peace for the first time in a long time. I'm here because I want you to feel joy. I don't want to watch you go through the motions any longer. I don't want to watch you tired and miserable any longer, day after day after day. But God says, I'm here because I want to change your life tonight." If we believe that God can heal a broken arm, why can't we believe that God can mend a broken heart, that God can change my spirit, that God can heal me on the inside? Mark 5 and verse 8, Jesus had said unto the man, "Come out." He's talking to these demons. "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." In verse 9, he asked him, I want you to hear this right now. He's talking to the guy. And he says, "Guy, what's your name?" Who responds? And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That's not flesh and blood replying. Legion is a Roman word for 7,000 soldiers, just about 7,000 soldiers. Jesus asks you, "What is your name?" And he responds by naming out the bondage and stronghold that is keeping him back. He calls himself, he is Legion. He is this multitude of devils. Come on, sometimes we walk around with brokenness for so long that I am depression. I am failure. I am lying. I am stealing. I am drunkenness. I am not good enough. I am argumentative. I am hatred. I am unforgiveness. And we start to see ourselves as what we struggle with, because what we struggle with is all we can think about. But Jesus shows up because he wants to change that for you. He says, "We are legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine, pigs feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into all these pigs. And the herd of swine ran violently down into a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 pigs, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what that was done. In a moment, Jesus changed this guy's life forever. Whatever you walked in with, whatever it is that maybe you haven't even thought about it for a long time, if you will come, if you will worship, if you will call that out to God, God can take that out of you and change your course forever. What would it feel like to really have peace? What would it be like to truly have joy? To feel like, I'm not struggling with this anymore. I've had addictions in my life that I dealt with for day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And I'm telling you that when you're finally free, there is so much peace and joy. Later on, we read that these people come to Jesus in verse 15, and they saw him. And now get the past tense in this verb. He was possessed with the devil. He had the legion. But now what? He's sitting, he's clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus can make it so that you could say, "I used to struggle with this." Because I'm telling you, God wants to bring you through this so that one day you can help somebody else get out too. But you got to get out first. You got to look out for your own. You got to look out for yourself. Say, "Jesus, for my own self, I want to be free." This man finally had peace. Because later on in the story, we're going to read about how this man would go to city after city and tell about the great things that Jesus did to him. If you feel like you got that calling ahead of you, that maybe someday you're going to point people towards something better, that you're going to tell them about how good Jesus is, first things first, you got to get yourself whole. You've got to get peace and joy for yourself. This man woke up depressed, but now he had joy. When he woke up that day, he had anxiety, but now he had peace. When he woke up, it was just him. He was all alone. But for the first time, he had friends and family, and he could be with his friends and family. When he woke up that morning, his mind was racing about all the people's voices and what do they think of me, and I just can't do it again today. I don't want to go through it again today. But for the first time, his mind was at peace. I'm telling you, just like this man, you felt Jesus in this room. And you have a choice. Will I worship him? Will I come and worship him? Or will I stay back? Stay back among the cemetery of my own life. Come on, he lived in death. That's what it means when you live in a cemetery. You live among the dead. Those people asked the apostle, "Why look ye for the living among the dead?" If you want to find life, you've got to get out of death. Amen? And you ask yourself, "God, what do you want with me?" I'm telling you, the will of God for you tonight is that God wants to set you free. That you could look back and say, on October 19th, 2019, God set me completely free from that bondage that was holding me back. God completely set me free from the depression and anxiety. God completely made me whole and gave me joy for the first time. But you got to find yourself like this man in verse 6 and verse 7. But when you saw Jesus, did you run and worship him? This man cried with a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Torment me not." There came a point in this man's life where he raised up his hands and he worshiped God. He'd never done that before. He never met Jesus before. But it doesn't matter if you felt him a million times. You got to lift up your hands. And what did we say about his arms? His arms were full of scars. He lifted up these scarred arms and he worshiped God. He said, "Jesus, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what they say about me, God, but I need you. I need you right now." And Jesus changed his life forever from that moment on. And that same God can change your life from tonight on if you want to be free. So I invite every person to come to this altar. And I want to read a story about a girl that was set free. If you could pull that up, Sister Julie. Take a look at this girl. This woman's name is Lindsay Long. She posted this on Facebook. "I used to be that girl that partied and clubbed all night and didn't know where I was at when I woke up. I used to be that binge drinker, dry heaved, blacked out, and ended up in the hospital almost dying with my blood pressure 97 over 38. I used to be that hookah smoker and smoked every day, occasional marijuana and cigarettes. I used to be that promiscuous girl that couldn't find any self-worth in myself and found it in addictions of any kind I could get a hold of. I was that girl that almost died twice from alcohol. I was that girl that lied and stole from family members. I was that girl until I met Jesus. I was baptized in Jesus' name in 2013, received the Holy Ghost in 2014, and let me tell you all that he has done for me. He has protected me from sexual diseases, kept me from getting lung cancer and heart problems from smoking every day, kept me from dying and from hell's grasp. He gave me a new name, an amazing husband, a beautiful daughter, a peaceful home. He changed and cleaned me from the inside out, took away all my guilt and shame. He called me his own. I am so thankful for his goodness and mercy. I give all the glory to him. I don't deserve the blessings he has given me. I don't deserve his love, forgiveness, and mercy, but he thought I was worth saving. I don't know where I would be without Jesus." God wants to do the same thing for you tonight. God wants to change the direction of your life. You might not be in the hookah smoking marijuana, but whatever sin, whatever is holding you back, whatever bondage and stronghold, God wants to completely take that away tonight. I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But we're going to lift our hands. And if you want God to set you free, I invite you to lift your hands and call on his name. And ask God, "God, I worship you, Jesus. Set me free, Lord God. I've been struggling with this. I've been dealing with this, Jesus, and I don't want to go through this any longer, God. I give myself to you, Lord. I want to be like this girl and be cleaned up. I want to have hope and joy and love in my life, God. So I'm not going to hold you back any longer. If you want freedom, Find your place. Find your place at this altar and worship God and let Him have it. And Jesus will give you a new life. In Jesus' name.